This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Now, Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome. Well, if you've ever been bumped from a flight or stuck on the tarmac for hours, help is on the way. Transport Minister Marc Garneau has just unveiled details of the government's long-promised passenger bill of rights. And as you heard in Bob's news, air passengers who are bumped from overbooked flights or who are forced to sit through long delays could receive up to $2,400 under the proposed regulations for the government's promised bill. And there's a minimum of $400 for a three-hour delay, $1,000 for a nine-hour delay, and on it goes. These are draft regulations, and the Canadian Transportation Agency wants your input, as do we. The numbers to call, 416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-740-4740. And by the way, the regulations would also force the airlines to automatically seat children under the age of 14 next to their parents, rather than requiring them to pay an additional fee to select their own seats. And also, as Bob pointed out, delays caused by weather-related problems and other unforeseen events will not be covered. So is this package enough? Right now, we go to Ken Wong, who is an associate professor at Queen's University in specialty consumer behavior, and Heather Craig Petty, who is VP for advocacy for the Canadian Association of Travel Agencies. Thank you both for joining us. Welcome.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Okay. Ken, what do you make of this package? You like it?
Well, I think the devil is in the details. We still have to see what this scale is of compensation. I think it's certainly a move in the right direction. At the same time, though, I don't think it's complete in its coverage. It doesn't cover things like refund policies. It doesn't talk about a clearer statement of regulations and restrictions. We impose this on banks with lending policies. For some reason, airlines can still send us 6 or 7 pages of verbiage along with our ticket. And I don't think there's enough mentioned on lost and damaged baggage rights. Right now, if your bag is lost or damaged, the airline is the judge and jury as to your entitlement to any kind of compensation. That certainly doesn't seem appropriate to me.
Heather, your initial reaction?
Well, I would agree that this is certainly a step in the right direction and addresses many of the points that we raised in our submissions to the government as well as the Canadian Transportation Agency. So we do see it as being very positive.
Okay. Hang on, guys. On the line, we have Charlene. And Charlene, you want to tell us about your nightmare that lasted for 6 hours? We're all ears.
Yes. Okay. I was flying down to California for a bar mitzvah back some years ago. I think it was 2011 or something like that. And we were delayed 6 hours. We were told the flight was going to be delayed, and then finally I'm relieved because they're putting us on the plane. I'm sitting there, you know, on the tarmac for a bit watching, I don't know, Charlie Chaplin or something, and then all of a sudden they say, oh, you have to get off the plane again. Get off the plane. So we have to get there, and we have to all get off and go back to our spots, and we're waiting for the plane. And they didn't know when we were going to go, and I thought, I've got to be down here. Tomorrow is the bar mitzvah. I want to be down, the day before for the first activities of the weekend, but which I missed. And it was so frustrating, and you couldn't do anything. I mean, I obviously am not going to get mad and threaten the staff, obviously. So what do you do? It was driving me crazy. I mean, they did compensate us by giving us I don't know, $10 for a meal.
Are you kidding me? $10? $10?
Yeah.
Thanks
so
a lot.
We're told, you know, you can go off.
That
and get
won't even
meat.
Buy you a sandwich in the airport.
Nah, it was enough for me to get lunch. I'm very thrifty. And they also gave us, I think, they gave us $50 compensation and maybe a free flight somewhere else, but still.
Yeah, I mean, let's get back to our panelists. I mean, one of the issues when this happens is that often you have people who are flying for a specific event, like a bar mitzvah or a wedding or a christening, whatever it happens to be, and they've booked vacation. You know, maybe they don't have that much vacation, and they've spent the money, and the result is that they miss the event that they're taking the flight for.
Well, I think this raises an interesting set of questions about extent of responsibility. Oftentimes when flights like this are canceled or delayed excessively, the traveler is still incurring hotel expenses. They may miss their reservation, for example.
Exactly.
And because it's the day of the flight or the day of the reservation, it's too late to get compensation. Similarly with car rentals, if you use any of these more discounted agencies, their so-called special deals are non-refundable. This really creates a series of difficulties and expenses for the traveler. And for the business traveler, it's no better because, of course, you can't claim a hotel room that you haven't used, and so you may be forced to eat that one out of your pocket.
Let me try to get a sense, Heather. Mm-hmm. If you're stuck on the tarmac, is that the airline's fault? Is that the airport's fault? What's happening with that?
Well, I think it's important to note that first of all, for the vast majority of air travel, customers are satisfied with their travel experience. And it does tend to be those exceptions, and hence why the rights will be in place for those exceptions. The delays, I'm sorry, Libby, your specific question related to
the tarmac.
Yes, I know. That it does seem reasonable that the 3 hours delay is what has been suggested, and certainly that's what was in our recommendations as well. There are the key is that there are many stakeholders also at play. So there are times where it is the airline, but there's also the security. There's air traffic control. Overall, travel is complex, and there are many stakeholders involved in the whole customer journey.
So, Ken Wong, is it fair to saddle with the airlines with this? I mean, is, you know, if it's not their fault, all of these delays.
Well, obviously, you can't fault the airline if it's an airport problem. Presumably, that's something else that could be included in this legislation. Is something to cover off those problems that are a consequence of the airline of the airport's lack of capability. I do want to mention that while these complaints may be the exception. The reality is that they are up some 10 times over the last 5 years, according to the last report I saw.
They are not that rare at all. I mean, come on, everybody has a story or a story by someone close to them. And Charlene, before we let you go, when you were stuck on the tarmac, was the air in the plane okay?
Yeah.
Because that's another thing that Mark Garneau is looking for from the airlines. And that is he wants to make sure that conditions are okay. I mean, I remember a couple of times being stuck for hours on a plane and there's no food and, it just really a bad situation. But you were okay there, Charlene.
Yes, but the whole delay thing was, I think the plane was coming from somewhere else and it was late, and then they had to observe union rules and relieve the staff from that plane and call other staff, like on an emergency basis, to get here right away to man this flight. So we had to wait for the staff changeover. That was part of the problem. It was awful. It was bad.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they should be able to deal with their staffing on their own. Charlene, thanks very much for your call.
Oh, okay.
Bye-bye. Bye. And people, I just want to give the numbers out again because we do want to hear from you. What do you think? Are these rules, as far as you can see, enough? Or do you think we need more? And if you have some horror stories that you would like to share, please give us a shout. 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. I'm talking to Ken Wong, who is Associate Professor at Queen's University, and Heather Craig Petty from the Association of Travel Agents. And we're talking about this new Bill of Rights. Ken, do you think that this would be enough to change the way airlines overbook? I mean, just seems to me sometimes they just seem to be completely cavalier about the way they do it.
Yeah, you know, it would seem that way. And certainly this is not to justify the airline's practices with respect to overbooking and the like. But in a sense, we consumers are somewhat responsible for this as well. Our insistence on flying on the lowest cost airline really puts the airline's costs under considerable challenge and really forces them to do some things in order to manage their own economics. Personally, I would prefer to see this Bill of Rights there. And if there is higher cost required, the government estimates it's only $2 or $2.75 a person, I wouldn't mind paying that in order to receive a more complete set of rights.
Well, you know, one thing I noticed with overbooking is that if you've paid the extra to actually get a seat, you tend not to be overbooked, not to be thrown off. It's people who haven't booked a seat that get thrown off, though I just find it odd, the whole concept of buying a flight ticket, but that doesn't include a seat on the plane. To me, like, that's, I don't know, seems kind of wacky.
Well, it is wacky, and it's particularly punitive for the less frequent traveler. You know, the person who travels a lot knows these things. You know, it's worth $11 to be guaranteed a seat. It's worth checking in early and so on.
$11? It's a lot more than that for some seats.
Well, depending on the seat you choose. But I'm just suggesting to you that I think the frequent traveler knows how to work the system. The less frequent traveler, and that's the person for whom they're traveling probably to a bar mitzvah or for a vacation, that's the person who really gets victimized here.
Yeah, I had a story, wasn't that recently now, but we took our nephew to New York, and he came from a different place as, you know, a kind of a graduation present. And it's the same thing. He hadn't booked a seat. He wasn't paying extra for a seat, and he got bumped. And there went quite a portion of that weekend because he had to wait.
Absolutely. Well, this comes back to, I think, a clear statement by the airlines of what their policies are.
Tell me.
If they're going to have a policy like that, they should be upfront about it.
Okay, yes. What other kinds of, clearer policies would you like to see?
Certainly on refunds. One of the ways in which they offer lower price tickets is by imposing a number of restrictions on refunds. So, for example, if you book a fare class that has a non-refundable ticket, but you have to make a change to that ticket. What currently happens is the airline charges you $100 to make the change. And then in addition to that, they issue you a new ticket. And if the new ticket has a lower value than you paid for your original ticket, your refund is for the lower value, which is silly. I mean, in any other retail setting, if you were to buy a product and it went on sale and you brought it back, you would get the refund for the amount that you paid. Airlines, for some reason, are above that.
Yeah, but they've said you've agreed to take a ticket that is allegedly non-refundable.
Right, but then they charge you $100 for making the change.
Yeah.
So you can't have it. All I'm saying is you can't have it both ways. I'm not arguing whether it's allowable or not or legal or not. I am suggesting that for many consumers, they wouldn't understand that at the time when they bought their ticket.
Yeah, I know. The whole thing is pretty murky. Let's hear from Pat in Toronto. Hi, Pat.
Good morning. I'm curious as to whether analysis was done by which airlines and which price ranges, because it strikes me that if you pay a bargain basement price, you should be the person who doesn't get the service if there's a shortage. Was that done in looking at this, or did they just treat all airlines the same and all price paid the same?
Well, I think that Ken was saying that it's the lower fare classes where people get penalized. But, you know, these days, even the lower fare class is pretty expensive. You know, I just booked some well in advance some seats to Florida, and they were the lowest fare class, but way more expensive than they were a few years ago. Not cheap at all.
Well, I'll give you two examples, though, or two things to think about. Last year, my wife and I were going to Papua New Guinea.
Wow, long flight.
That is an expensive flight. We booked the airline tickets directly, which is something that people should think about. My wife got pneumonia a couple of weeks before, couldn't go. She phoned up the airline 3 days before, and, you know, the tickets were probably, I don't know, $8,000 or $10,000
wow.
in total. It was only $200 to cancel those tickets. If she had booked through Expedia or booked through the travel agent, et cetera, we would not have got any money back. So that's one thing. And one piece of humor, I used to travel to Sudbury years ago, and I can remember on Friday night coming back from Sudbury, and you'd be on the plane, and then the ticket people would come on and say, well, we've got somebody who's connecting to London, England. Who would like to give up their seat? And they would start, and it was like an auction. We'll start at $50. Anybody at $50, anybody at $75, anybody at $100. And eventually somebody would say, okay, for $125, I'll get off the plane and wait for the next one 4 hours later.
Okay, well, that's interesting. Pat, thanks for your call. And I'm going to ask Heather, is that right? I was under the impression that you're most eligible for compensation if you book through a travel agent, but I guess that's if the airline goes under.
There is a compensation fund. So if there is an insolvency of an agency or an end supplier, that being a cruise line or an airline, if the consumer has booked through an Ontario registrant, then yes, there is a compensation fund that a consumer can claim against.
But what our last caller was talking about, that he got a better deal booking direct with the airline than with the travel agent. Does that sound right to you?
I don't know all the details of his particular booking. Certainly, there are many advantages of booking with an ACTA member travel agency, and their availability to many different fares, and so and of course all their experience that they provide. So I don't know all the particulars of the gentleman's booking, so difficult to speak to that. But certainly a cancellation should apply the same, whether that be going direct to the airline or through an agency.
Okay. Now, Ken, you know, you were talking about more disclosure, and as you mentioned, you know, we buy a ticket and we get four pages of verbiage. So what kind of disclosure do you think we should be getting?
Oh, I think just a very clear statement of what the rules are. They can easily do the analytics to figure out what the most common reasons for canceling a flight would be on the part of the passenger. And as a consequence of that, they should have, at a minimum, an FAQ that says, you know, here are our refund policies under the most common situations. That's not a difficult thing to do.
Yeah, but I think they have other reasons for not doing it. So just to recap then, are you satisfied with these proposed rules, and what would you add to them, Ken?
Well, first of all, I would add a clause or a section that deals with disclosure of refund policies and ticket purchase policies, something written in clear English as opposed to legal verbiage.
Mm-hmm.
I think there has to be more explicit statement of lost and damaged baggage rights. I'd like to see something. I don't know if it's possible, to be honest with you, but ideally I would like to see something stated on the related expenses that one incurs when a flight is arbitrarily canceled, whether it's due to overbooking or a mechanical problem that the airline should have taken care of. I'd also like to see something mentioned more about the rural areas. I happen to be in Kingston, which has a smaller airport, and I can assure you that there are things that we encounter that you would not normally encounter in a Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver, Calgary.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned cruises there, and that's an interesting thing because I remember a case. It actually happened to a friend of mine and got huge play because she missed her cruise because the flight was late. And it resulted in an issue of everyone blaming everybody else, saying that and it was booked by the travel agent that was used by the cruise. So the airline blamed the travel agent for not booking her early enough, and on it went. And as often happens with these things, it was resolved only after a bunch of bad publicity. You know, I guess the question is, will a bill like this, you know, make sure that kind of thing doesn't happen? Your opinion, Ken?
Well, you know, I think if you're going to call it a traveler's bill of rights, it has to extend beyond just, you know, just what happens if they overbook or what happens if your flight's delayed. It has to be much more all-encompassing. For example, if I get on a flight and let's suppose my TV screen or headphone unit isn't working, do I get compensation for that? What if my seat doesn't recline all the way? Do I get compensation for that?
You know what? I have to interrupt you because that's happened to me. And the answer is they give you a voucher for something that you absolutely cannot use.
I know. It's like $15 or something ridiculous like that, too.
Yeah.
Which doesn't help you a whole lot on a 4-hour flight or a 3.5-hour flight. There are a number of circumstances that I think are not, as the minister talked about it this morning at least, do not seem to have come under their radar.
Okay. And Heather, is there anything you would like to see added to this?
Well, certainly we will be going through all the new regulations and providing that will come out on Saturday and providing some strong feedback then. However, from what I can see, insurance, a mention of insurance is certainly important and a concern, I know, to the government when they have to fly somewhere to repatriate consumers. So that is talk of insurance would be, I think, beneficial, as well as the addressing of name changes. And that is also a point that's raised in the EU regulations, where it should not cost an extravagant fee for a simple name change. And I'm not seeing that that was addressed.
Okay, great. Thank you both, Heather Craig-Petty and Ken Wong.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.